Praise the Lord. Well, we're just going to get into this, but just let me say this, that, you know, God said he sent his word and healed us, which means it's already here. Amen. Which means that at any moment, we don't have to wait for anything to happen except to receive healing. Amen. So I say this to my congregation that, you know, we don't have to wait until someone lays hands on you. You can receive your healing right there and then, because he says he sent his word. So, you know, I think this is the stage the church is moving into, that we're going to see a seasonal change, such an incredible change in the body of Christ that, I saw this years ago. I had a visitation from God in 1983, and he showed me a glimpse of the end time church, and that's how I started my whole ministry. But some of the things that I saw was that there will be such a hunger for God that the preachers will get up and just preach a few words, and congregations will just stand up automatically and just respond in praise to the words that they've heard. And, you know, spontaneous healing and all this kind of stuff is going to go on. So, you know, I believe we're on the brink of that right now, that we're getting ready for something. So God is kind of separating issues at the moment in the hearts of people, mostly in the hearts of people, to get ready for the greatest move that this world has ever seen. Anybody remotely excited about that? the greatest move, you know. I mean, it's there. Everywhere I go, I speak to pastors and I speak to people and they say the same thing. You know, we're on the brink of something incredible, something amazing. And so we need to prepare ourselves for that and get ready for that. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Holly. You did a great job with the slides. So just a quick recap. If you were not here, we'll go to slide 12. So just a quick recap, because I felt I went through this quickly, and I did get through some things quickly, and I'm going to get through quickly some things tonight as well, and we'll wrap it up. I'm trying to do this seminar in 5 sessions. But we talked about knowledge, form new pathways in the brain. Who wasn't here? Who missed me on Sunday? Didn't a few of you? Okay. So anyway, you'll have to catch up in this. But we talked about knowledge. Without knowledge, we perish, right? Is that right? Is that the same in America as it is in Australia? Without knowledge, we perish for lack of knowledge, right? Okay, that just checking. Maybe your Bible's a little different to yours. So then knowledge leads us to meditation. If we're interested in the knowledge that we find, if we like the knowledge that we find, then we're going to start to meditate. And then if you weren't here, then this won't make much sense to you. But then it strengthens the pathways in the brain. And so we start to strengthen certain pathways in the brain. And those pathways, which is God's word, become our default. So whatever comes to us outside that's contrary to that, we've actually got a default. It's physically in the brain. You've made a default in the brain through meditation. And then from meditation, we start to get bold and we declare. And what declaration does it activates pathways in the brain. So there's an activation. So you can be anywhere. You can be driving in the car or doing whatever you're doing at gym, and you start to declare things. And I mean declare with faith. You actually declare. You don't just say. You actually declare it. Amen. And then that'll lead to thanksgiving, which creates a mindset of expectation. So your brain is wired for expectation. At any moment. Oh, hallelujah. At any moment, God can do whatever he wants because he's God and you're his child. Just at any moment. It is now the time. Now is a time for revival. Now is a time for God to just accelerate your life. It is not coming. It is in the now. Amen. I mentioned a little bit about that as well on Sunday. So thank you, Holly. It is Holly behind there. Oh, Holly's to the left, right. Where's the next one? Quickly, and we'll just... okay, this is where I'm going tonight. So I'm going to start on this, and then we'll get into some scientific things a little bit later. But my background was science as well. It was crazy. I was a bit of a scientist during the day, and then at night, before I got saved, I was in the nightclub singing. So it was two lives that I lived. It was just a crazy thing, you know. And so the people at the in the company I worked for, they didn't know what I was doing at night, but that's what was happening. So I will share a little bit from a science point of view, because I do understand some of these things, not much, but a little bit. So we're going to look at the power of the heart. You know, I used to think that the power of the mind, and we were taught this, that the power of the mind was the most important thing, renewing the mind, and it is incredibly important. But what we're going to look at tonight is the condition of the heart, because I said here, the condition of the heart is probably the most important contributor to your health. And we're going to have a look at that. You probably don't know if you know about that. But the heart is so important because God, when God was looking to move something in the earth, when God was looking to shift something in the earth, What he did was he was looking for a heart, and he found David, the shepherd boy. And when he found that heart in worship, he says, I've got a man after my own heart. Now, the guy was only 15 or 16, but God found the right heart. When God finds the right heart, he says, I found a man that can do all of my will. When God finds the right heart, then the will is submitted to whatever God wants to do. So I say this prophetically, that there's going to be an acceleration in the end times regarding hearts. God is turning hearts right now to get our hearts right so that they can be a quickening. And when he finds a generation with the right heart, what's going to happen is we're going to find our place. A lot of the things I just speak kind of prophetically. So you have to just go along with this. But when he finds a generation with the right heart, people are going to start to find themselves rightly fitted into the ministry that God has called them to. All of a sudden, you know, it could happen spontaneously. You could be, you know, sitting under Pastor Hendry, who's an incredible teacher, I think, and you could be sitting under that ministry, and he said something, and all of a sudden, something is quickened inside you, and it's like, whoa, man, wow, I got it, and you'll go away, and you'll be buzzing with that, and something like that can start to change your heart, can draw you towards God. So God is drawing a generation right now, this generation, towards him. He's beginning to change our hearts. He's getting us ready for the greatest outpouring, the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. You can say amen to that. Amen? So the heart is important. And Jesus made an incredible statement. And Luke 6:45, I'll just read it to you. This is slide 14. Gee, you're on the ball. You're on the ball. It says in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Now, we're talking in the context of healing here tonight, right? So grab all this in the context of healing. It'll all come together. So a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the heart then is a repository for treasure. Would you agree? So good treasure then, this is stuff that you know. Good treasure is obviously God's word, God's righteous nature. Bad treasure is the devil's lies, the carnal nature, anything contrary to God's word. So good and bad thoughts are related. Good and bad treasure is related to thoughts. We'll just develop that for a minute. So the mind is bombarded with thoughts all the time. You and I, like I said on Sunday, there's 50,000 thoughts come through our mind every single day. 50,000 thoughts. You and I are bombarded with thoughts. And so we have a decision what to do with those thoughts. I did mention to you the other on Sunday, but I have to get through this again just to make the next statement make it sense. I said that our thoughts have content, two things, content and energy. The content of the thought is whatever you're thinking about, the subject matter. And then the energy is how long, and this is important, how long and how strong you think about what you're thinking about. Yes. Yes. Amen? Yes. So those are the two things. So there's a content, and then there's how long you would actually think and how strongly you would think about any particular thought. Now, it's important to know that. So, and that creates an energy. Everything's related to energy, which we'll have a look at tonight. So, here's the point regarding all of this. Oh, it's up there. When your thoughts are held long enough, here's the point. Content is what you think about. Energy is strong and how long you think about what you're thinking. When your thoughts are held long and strong enough in your mind, they filter down from your head to your heart. Yeah. Amen. And so, in a sense, then, the mind chooses what you keep, but the heart chooses what you treasure. Amen. Amen. So you can accept or you can reject things in your mind, but then when it gets to your heart, it becomes a different ballgame. So the mind chooses, and I'll explain this, what you keep, thoughts, and then the heart chooses what you treasure. And what do we mean by that? So thoughts become treasure by meditation. So when you start to think about something over and over again, you start to put value to it. You deem it valuable. And it can be a bad thought or a good thought. Amen. But as soon as you start to think about that thought, you're adding value to it. I like that. You know, it could be good or bad. But that becomes treasure. That becomes your treasure. And here's the sad bit, is that your treasure is always released as words, which will bring life or death. Amen. So there's a process. It's almost like God's given you an opportunity at one level where stuff comes to your mind and you've got the opportunity to cast that vain imagination down. Or you can start to say, it's not a bad idea, you know. And so, you know, you'll find that that thought will come more and more and more, and you'll start to, I know you know all of this, but you'll start to think about it, and then you'll start to enjoy it, and then it'll go from here to here. And then from here, it'll find its way out your mouth, and then the choice of life and death is there. Amen. So hearts are really, really important in terms of what God is saying. I love this one scripture. I was preaching this in my church a few weeks ago, and I just loved it, man. It says, above all else, NIV, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, the issues of life. Everything you do flows from here. It's been up here, you get a chance to reject it, but if you don't, it goes here. Meditate on it, and it'll come out here. And then it affects everything around you, it affects your life. And so above all else, so above your family, above your business, above your finances, above your health, guard your heart. Because when you guard your heart, here's what happens. When you take care of your heart, this was such a revelation to me. When you take care of your heart, you're taking care of your family. You're taking care of your business. You're taking care of your finances. You're taking care of your health. A lot of people are trying to take care of their family by doing stuff, you know. But man, the issue is for us to take care of God in a sense, you know. He comes first. So what is the condition in my heart? Because if the condition, this has been a revelation to me. The condition in my heart is going to safeguard my wife, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children, my ministry, everything, man. It's all there. It is all there. Amen. I was preaching in New Zealand last week and at a conference, and we had a funny time, man. There was a great prophet of God there. He was the other speaker, and he's just a funny guy. And we're just talking, you know, but, well, you know, you go to hotels and... He was talking about some guy, and I knew someone like this. You take your bodyguard with you, you know, in case some woman will knock on the door at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're tempted. And I was listening to this, and I thought, that's never happened to me. You know, maybe I'm ugly or what, man, but that's just never happened to me, you know. And I started thinking about it. And the Lord says, because you're not looking for it. You're not thinking about it. It's not in your heart, right? Come on now. So our whole protection thing is not up here. Our protection is what's in here. Amen. Amen. So the heart is really, really important. The Hebrews understood this. They had two words that, slide number 16, holy. They had two words. Holly's become my best friend. My new best friend. Oh, that's good. Okay, I'll speak to you later, Holly. So functions of the heart, the Hebrews understood this. We actually don't, but they understood this well. They call it Yetzer Hatov, which is an inclination to do good, and Yetzer Hara, an inclination to do evil. So they knew that the condition of the heart is open to two opposing forces, which means that there's a battleground. The Hebrews knew, the ancient Hebrews, they knew that the battleground is also in the heart. It's a massive battleground that takes place in the heart. I said that, creating a battleground in the heart. So the heart is the ultimate priority maker or policy maker. And the motivation, every motivation comes from the heart. So you got to guard your heart. So the heart is also interesting, and I'm just giving you this background regarding it. But it's got similar properties to the brain. A lot of recent discovery has found that. So the heart actually acts like it is a brain. Did you know that? It acts like it is a brain. In fact, this fascinated me when I studied this. Since I wrote that book, I've just been studying this stuff, and I've got so much more now than it's in the book. But the book is still good, and it's available up the back there. But the heart, listen to this, the heart sends more information to the brain than the brain does to the heart. Amen? That's a fact. That is a scientific fact. That the heart sends more information to the brain than the brain does to the heart. The heart can learn, it can remember, can make decisions, it can feel, it can sense. It's a seat of motivation and action, and the forces of life flow from it. So that is pretty important. It produces an electric and magnetic field. Yeah, we've got that there. So it creates these electric fields. And the electric field in the heart is 100 times stronger than the field created by the brain. So that's very powerful. because that's an energy. The spirit man. Yeah. The heart creates a magnetic. This is a physical heart. Physical heart. Yeah, it creates a magnetic field of 5,000 times stronger than the brain. This is electromagnetic pulses basically from the heart and from the brain. There's these energy fields that it creates. So Proverbs 23:7 says this: as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen. Now it doesn't say as a man thinks in his brain. It says as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen. So the treasure you've stored, I've got here, the reason is the heart is where your treasure is stored. So God will always look at the treasure that's stored in the heart. And out of that, the issues of life will flow from it, which is your whole being. Your whole being is going to be affected by your heart, by the condition of your heart. In fact, your whole life, your health and everything will be affected by that. So your treasure is important. What is in there is important to your health. It says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me first and find me when you search with me with all of your heart. So we search for God. We only find God actually with the heart. We don't find God with the mind. We find God with our heart. That whole worship thing is there. Amen. So having laid that kind of foundation regarding the heart is really, really important. And a lot of us don't, pay much attention regarding the heart, but it is important. Now, I want to go to this here because this is interesting. We've been basically told, when I was at university, we were told something that now they said is not true. And it's important to understand this because we're going to move in from this into the actual Word of God and how the Word of God works regarding healing. Two false assumptions that science gave us, even when I was at school, and one of them was this, that the space between things is empty, and that is not true. The space between things is empty, and that's not true. And the old classical model of the nucleus with the neutrons and protons surrounded by electrons spinning around in these orbits. But now they've changed that and they've said, no, it's actually it's a field of energy. So it's a field of energy. So when you look at the electron or when you look at the atom, it's all energy, even at that level. Amen. So the second thing is, they told us, they said, our inner experiences and feelings and belief have no effect on the world beyond our bodies. And that is also not true. Amen. So let me get into this then. Let's go to slide number 20 here. Slide 20. So we'll have a look at the quantum world quickly. So E equals MC squared. It's a famous equation. And you know what that means. Energy and mass are interchangeable. There's a wave-particle duality. And so in the quantum world, what that actually means is that all possibilities exist in the quantum field, in the quantum world. All possibilities exist, which is incredible because that's what we call faith. But they've proved in science that there is a place there where all things are possible. That's in the quantum realm. Just believe me, it's there. So what they've said is this, that a wave is a non-materialized state and a particle is a materialized state. So energy is convertible into mass and vice versa. So they did an experiment, and I think we've got a slide for this, and I want to show you this. They did an experiment probably in the 20s, and they called it the double slit experiment. And what they did was they sent photons from here through these slits. This is a scientific fact. Nobody fights with this. They sent these photons through these double slits, and normally it would come out as waves, the waveform there. But because of the presence of a detector, if a detector was present, it would come out as a particle, which means that they call it the observer effect. So if there's an observer present, then change can happen. Change happens. Now, this is important in terms of looking at God and looking at our health. If the observer is present, the change happens. In other words, waves become particles if there is an observer present. So the scientists, I got this from a published article But they said, this is what scientists have said. They said the entire universe exists because someone is watching it. Amen? This is science now. The entire universe exists because someone is watching it. As long, and we know who that someone is, right? As long as God is watching the universe, it remains in a collapsed state. In other words, in a material state, like the earth and the moon and you and I, solid state. And so if God wasn't watching it, then you and I would dematerialize, would become basically waves. Amen? Now, this is really important. This is really important. So we have to get a revelation that God is observing us. Amen? And God is observing us all the time. In fact, I think I mentioned on Sunday, there's 100,000 chemical reactions, electrochemical reactions taking place in every cell in your body every second. And all of those are happening to keep you healthy. Amen? And you don't even know about it. You're not observing it, but God is observing that. Amen? Now, that is important for us to know because it means that every actual cell in the body, every atom in the body is being observed by God. If we get a revelation that God is observing every cell in our body, every atom in our body, and we start to observe it the way he's observing it, and his observation of that is that you are whole and healed. Amen. When we can come into line with that, I've had this revelation for months now. Such a revelation. And I just say, God, I thank you that you're observing every subatomic particle in my body. Amen. For health. To keep me well. To keep me healthy. That God never for a microsecond takes his eyes off you at a subatomic level. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Isn't that good? Yes. Amen. It says in Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. That's the visible world of matter and the invisible world of waves. That's what this is talking about here. Everything existed but one of those two things. So 60 trillion cells in your body, 100,000 chemical reactions taking place every second in every cell in your body. That's mind-blowing. We can't even compute stuff like that. And yet God is observing it. And I love this. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're observing me. You have to get a revelation of that. Thank you, Lord, that you're observing me. You start to imagine that. You start to confess that. You start to declare that. There's an observer. And of course, when we observe, we're transformed. Is that right? So the very principle of observation actually transforms you. So there's nothing more you can do than is to sit and just gaze into the eyes of Jesus, spend time with Jesus, and you'll be transformed. So everything that's out of line will be transformed in that place. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Everything that's out of line will be transformed. So you know, the whole subject to worship is basically, worship is not for him, it's more for you than for him. Nothing is transformed, nothing is changed by him. But because we know that he observes us and because we know that there's transformation in that place, then and we got a revelation of this, then we can say, Father, we thank you that as we worship you, as we just sit and gaze at you, as we adore you, as we love you, we thank you, Father God, that you're transforming everything at a subatomic level regarding my health and wholeness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, in that place, there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater you can ever do than worship God. And I'll tell you, if you're sick, there's nothing greater God wants to do it in that time than heal you. Amen? So when those two things meet, boy, there's health. So he says in his word, now we'll get to this. He says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. So just keep that in mind that in the quantum realm, all things are possible. Amen. That's a scientific fact. All things are possible. So it says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all the destructions. So when it says he sent his word, it means that his word is here. His word is not coming. His word is already here, right? It's not like he's sending it. It's already here. But you wonder where it is. It must exist somewhere, right? Would you agree with me? God's word has got to exist somewhere. Because it's not in heaven, because he says he sent it. So where is it? It's here, but where is it here? Where is it? I suggest it may be in the quantum realm of possibilities. Because that's what the quantum realm is. It's a place of everything's possible. Scientifically, everything's possible. Where science is catching up with that. And so what happens is when we actually stand in the word of God by faith, we make all things become possible. Amen. Hallelujah. You're taking stuff from the quantum realm and basically bring it into the physical realm. Is this making sense? Amen. God's word, in that quantum realm, I believe that all things are possible. Because where else would God's word be? It's in that realm that he created, that quantum field that he created. Amen. So faith takes it and faith brings it from that reality into the tangible reality that we walk in. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I love this scripture. Psalm 147, verse 15, it says, he sends his word, he sends his commandment to the earth, and it runs very swiftly. That's the quantum. The quantum space. It cannot be delayed by space. That's the quantum realm. And it cannot be slowed down by time. In other words, God's word is in the now. Yeah. Amen. It's right here. It's right now. It's ready. Oh, hallelujah. We're not waiting for it to come. It's actually here. Amen. So God's word is might. Let me just qualify it, because I can't prove it. So let me just say it this way. God's word is waiting in the quantum realm for faith to convert it to a reality. It's just there. It's right there. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's a now realm. It's not the hoping realm. It is in the now realm. If we're always in the realm of hope, it means that we're in a sense confessing that we don't have something. Amen. But if we're in the realm of now, it means that we've got it. And if you've got it, if you know you've got it, then the only way you can express that, and I'll go into this on Sunday, is basically in praise and worship. There will be a spontaneous reaction to that revelation. And that spontaneous reaction is always praise and worship. It's incredible for that reality. So, I want to look at this quickly in slide 23. Let's go there quickly, because I want to release some prayer over you tonight for healing. Slide 23, have you got that, Holly? Okay, well, there's one called healing at a cellular level. Can we go there? Okay, healing at a cellular level. What they've found is that cells emit light. Our cells, this is recent stuff that they found. Our cells emit light, and that's the way they communicate to one another. So our cells are emitting light. And that light is a very faint light that they've only just discovered. And so from one cell to the other cell is communicating, and then from the next cell to the next cell throughout the whole body. And the reason that those cells are communicating is for one reason. They're communicating basically for your health, coherence. If the communication is right, if the communication is good, we call it coherence. And we translate that as health. Amen. So your cells are emitting light. Okay, none of you are very excited about that, but that's fine. We'll just continue on. But you will get excited when I read you this scripture, because I love that. But then I said to the Lord, I need to try and back this up with something. You know, what does that mean? Yeah, that's science, but what does it mean? But in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, the entrance of your word gives light. The entrance of your word gives light. Oh, man. Come on now. So every time you open up this word, it doesn't matter where you open it up, it's light. Amen? In fact, he sent his word. He didn't say he sent his healing word and healed you. He says he sent his word. Amen? So all of his word is healing. But if you don't know that, you'll just read through the word. Yeah, that was good. But you know what? Every time that you read the word of God, receive healing. Amen. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all his troubles, all the troubles. So, the entrance of your word brings light. Now, I believe this, that what God's word does, and this is something I've been meditating on for weeks as well, that light, that the word of God is light, and when we open up the word of God, that word of God is touching and it's helping the communication between the cells for health. In other words, it's God's best medicine. Some of you are not getting it. Amen. The entrance of your word gives light. It's light. And the communication level for health between your cells is light communication. So the light of God's word must have an effect on the communication at a cellular level to keep you healthy. Must. Amen. It's got to have that effect. And then it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. And you know the scripture, right? But here this scripture is specifically pointing to God targeting the marrow for some reason. He's targeted the marrow. There's got to be a reason for that. And there is a reason for that. The marrow is where the blood, the red blood cells and the white blood cells, the blood platelets, are produced. It is where the immune system operates from. Amen? And so what God is saying here, he's saying that his word, for some reason he knows, will target the immune system. Amen? If we send that word, according to this scripture here, God has highlighted this. So the immune system is really important, right? We know that, right? So he's saying, my word will target that specific area, but only if you know about it. If you don't know about it, then you'll just read that and think, oh, well, that's cool. You know, what does it mean? And so it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord with reverent awe and obedience and turn entirely away from evil. It will be health to your body, your marrow, your nerves, your sinews, your muscles. This is the Amplified, Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. All your inner parts and refreshment, physical well-being to your bones. Now, there's four things that is mentioned, which is incredible. This is God sending his word, which is light. The entrance of your word brings light, brings life, right? So he's earmarked four things here in this particular scripture. It'll be health to your body, your marrow, your nerves, your sinews, and your muscles, all your inward parts. In other words, what that means is the marrow is God covering the immune system. The nerves is a communication system. The sinews is a connection system. And the muscles is a structural system. In other words, God is saying, I get the whole thing covered. Amen. I've covered everything. I mean, your whole being is covered if you know it. If you don't know it, then you don't know it. The word is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. This stuff is powerful. There's nothing it cannot do. There's no place it cannot go. There's nothing it cannot accomplish. It is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even and dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's the center of the thoughts and this word can achieve anything. My word is so powerful. God is saying, it can accomplish anything. But because of the love that I have for you, I want to make sure that it's getting to the very innermost parts of you, that it can heal at that level. But you've got to know it. If you don't know it, then you don't know it. But a scripture like that, meditate on that over and go to the Amplified and over and over and over and over and over. Meditate on that even when you're well. Listen, sometimes when we go to God's word when we're sick, it's too late, or it can be. It's too much of a struggle. But we should be praising God when we're well for our health. Amen? Come on, I mean, every day you're waking up and you thank God that you're born again and thank God that you're healthy and strong. Hallelujah, I'm in Christ today, man. I've got a life here, man. You know, he's observed, he's an observer, you know. Every day I look in the mirror when I get up in the morning and I say, Father, you've got a medical report for me today. The medical report for me today. You know, you go to the doctor, you got a good medical report, you're happy, right? Well, listen, he's given you a medical report. God's medical report for you every morning and every night before you go to bed is by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Yes. Amen? That is a medical report that God has given you. We need to have a revelation of that this generation so that we're going to live strong and well and be able to fulfill the plans and purposes, like I said on Monday and Sunday, that God has got for us. God wants you well. We must come against so strongly any attack in the body. Amen. I think I covered with you the last time the thief and the robber, the difference between the thief and the robber, that when the thief will come in, the devil will come in with symptoms, and that's when we've got to be aggressive against him. Whatever, how small the symptom is, we aggressively come against it. Yes. Amen. We don't wait. We don't just take a pill out the whatever. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong, there's anything wrong with medicine, but deal with it at that level where the devil will start to pilfer and steal. John 10:10. Because if you don't deal with it at that level, it's going to get worse. Come on now. But we can be too casual sometimes about our health. It's like, oh, well, you know, I can deal with it. Or sometimes don't even care about it, you know, because we've got doctors or we've got this. And thank God for doctors. We need them. But what I'm saying is that we should be at that level of, God, you know, I've got revelation on your healing power in my life. I've got revelation that you want me well, that you want me to live long in the earth, that you want me to fulfill plans and purposes. And I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One last thing, and I'm going to hand it back to Pastor Hendry. I want to share this with you, and it's a commonly known scripture. But the Holy Spirit is so jealous about your health and healing. He's so jealous about that. It says in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. He helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Now, there's a Greek scholar that has written a book, and I just copied what he said. But he said this. He says, the Greek word there for weaknesses means feebleness of body or mind. The Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. It means a malady, a moral frailty, a disease, an infirmity, and a sickness. And the word for helps means to take hold of together with you against that which is coming against you. Amen. So the Holy Spirit will come along if we know. And he'll say, Tom, I know you're in a bad place here or whatever. I know, you know, but let me help you. I'm going to come along. This is the picture. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you and take hold of you, physically take hold of you, if you can imagine that, to come against that which is coming against you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the Holy Spirit says, I'm there for you, man. I'm there for you. I want to be with you. I want to help you through this. You're not on your own doing this. This is too big for you. Amen. Because what this means is, and he's explained this word from the Greek. He said, this word covers all kind of debilitating sickness, normally defined as incurable. This is what it means. It means mental illness, even those in a comatose stage. Listen, man, if God can raise the dead, surely he can raise the living. He can make us well. Does that make sense? You might be able to. Can it? So the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost is available. Hallelujah. I've shared this with you because I guess you know, probably know most of it. But again, it's getting back just to the integrity of God's character. And if he said something, he absolutely means it. Amen. He absolutely means it. If he said he sent his word and healed, then that's exactly what he did. There's no question about that. Amen. He's actually sent his word and healed. Amen. Now, I'd like to pray after Pastor Hendry comes up. I'd like to pray over you and pray for some of you, but I'm going to ask him to come up right now and do what he needs to do, and then we'll just pray.